Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back here to Circles of Change. Now, many people always ask me, how is it you get such interesting guests, Zara? And I often say, well, any unsuspecting victim that sits next to me on the airplane, or in this case, comes down my driveway, is an easy tap because I welcome John Hall here in the studio. John happens to be the farrier for our horse, Chappie. So, John, how are you this morning?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, let me do a brief introduction because this segment's going to surprise you, listeners. We're going to do more than just talk about horses. John is a true blue soul of the Southwest. He's a native of Tucson who continues to build a career from the inside out. In other words, from what makes him happy and delighted to be with the elements of authentic people, animals, nature, song, and spirit. Hanging around the Tucson horse racetrack since he was a kid and his stepfather and friends, John learned the art of shoeing horses, which as he got older became a sideline business in addition to welding, land surveying, and being a firefighter for the Forest Service. Now working from his fully equipped pickup truck, 15 years ago, John decided to go full-time into being a farrier, servicing customers in Tucson, Vail, Sonoyta, and Amato. I'd also like to mention that around the age of 13, John started playing the guitar and was in a variety of bands throughout high school. Jazz, rock and roll, and as he puts it, essentially playing what others wanted me to play. Well, life got full otherwise, and he took a 10-year break from his music until he was at a party and friends coaxed him to pick up a guitar again, but this time to play country and western. So today, John writes country western songs with a spiritual twist and plays with his brother and nephew in the Too Lazy Two Ranch Band, a group that contributes every Saturday night at the Cowboy Church, a community of true blue westerners in the spirit of a movement that actually started in Texas, blending horse-related fun activities for families in conjunction with their faith-based services. So anyway, John, again, it's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And there's nothing like we put it on the calendar that Chappie's getting new shoes because we actually know we have to calm everybody down because our horse isn't naturally the most amenable guy, is he?
he's getting a lot better as we've been working on him over time. He's calmed down and coming around.
I understand he recently fell asleep and almost fell over one time, so that really must be the sign
he's real calm.
He's real calm and he's really vested in you. Well, I think a lot of people wouldn't really know to appreciate the skill, the art, and the intuitive activities that are all involved in shoeing horses. So it isn't something you just go to school for. You got to have it in your soul, don't you?
I think probably to continue it. I mean, they do have schools all around the country and some real good schools. You know, some of the courses, you can take a six-week course and they'll tell you you're a horse shoer. I don't think that really happens like that. But like my best friend's name's Wayne Todd Mayfield. And the Mayfield family, they all treat me, you know, they're my extended family.
Yeah.
And when I got in with Todd and we started working together, and he taught me how to shoe horses. And he was a third generation. His father and grandfather were both farriers. And I rode with him for 4 years. And he taught me how to get her done, you know.
So. And is that how a lot of you people in the profession work, do you think, is you pick it up through partnering with someone?
I think so. Most guys, and even the guys that go to school, the guys that seem to continue on with the trade, even when they get out of school, they'll start riding with journeyman farriers and learn more knowledge from them, work with different fellas, and pick up a little bit here and there. That kind of
thing. For our listeners, of course, who are horse people, they know that your trade and your contribution to their having wonderful rides with their animals is so quintessential. I think people that aren't horse followers, though, don't know to appreciate that how much and how important it is to have those horses' feet set.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old saying, you know, no feet, no horse, you know. So, but, yeah, there's a little more to it than it seems like, you know, and I have one secular song that I wrote in the course, and it talks about you got to have a strong back and a weak mind. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that go with it.
Well, yeah. So tell me, a weak mind, meaning that you just have to accept what you're going to get when you connect with this animal?
I think that's what they refer to, but I don't believe that's really true. I actually was in the farrier supply shop, the one-stop farrier shop here in Tucson one day, and a guy came in, and he was trying to get, I guess it was grant money to go to trade school.
Yeah.
And he had to talk to so many guys that actually did the trade. And so he asked me, you know, and that was one of the things he said. He goes, well, I've already heard you need the strong back and the weak mind. He says, what else do you need? And I said, well, you need to be a bookkeeper. You need to be a PR guy, you know. Ran down a long list of things that people don't really think about, you know.
Well, in fact, many of us don't think, you know, or even think, well, I really am a great artist, but it never dawns on you, or like in my case, that running a consulting business, that maybe it's 25% the actual doing and 75% of all the other things.
That's
if
right.
You're a solopreneur in particular.
That's right. Yeah.
John, the adventure, the voyeurisms, the idea of working out of the back of your truck, of being outdoors, though, it strikes me that, you know, you've got your cowboy hat right here in the studio, that is just like living the high life for you.
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I've had people ask me, you know, if I couldn't shoe horses, what else would I do? I'm like, I don't know. I can't really imagine not doing it now, you know. I sure could never go back and punch a clock for somebody, I don't think. You get a little too much, too big a taste of freedom, probably, you know.
Well, and I think, too, the variety and diversity, because you've been doing this now full-time for 15 years, and
yep.
So you've been, I suspect, with some clients throughout the whole duration, in
That's
fact,
right.
with their horses.
And some of them even longer than that, for when I was working with Todd, with Wayne Todd, when he left town, he went up into the White Mountains up in Vernon, mm-hmm. and so I kept some of the clients that me and him had worked on together, you know, so... it's funny, you know, I'm getting older. Some of the horses are getting older.
Which is probably a good match then. You guys don't buck at each other as much,
yeah.
right? You guys
yeah,
are buddies. And
neither one of us bend as good as we used to be.
Because you're right. It's not a trade for the faint at heart. I mean,
well,
physically,
right.
I mean, it is
yeah.
a physically grueling thing to be able to stand there with your back against his chest for the front legs, right? And then dealing whatever goes on in the back
yeah.
end.
If everything goes good,
that's
it's a hard
right.
job.
Well, let's segue at this point. I want to also, for our listeners, understand that, John, as I said, you're a multi-talented individual. You've got a lot of things pulling your spirit, and that you're also a songwriter and a musician. So playing the guitar as well has come to you very naturally.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you got to work at it. You know, it's not something, you know, that you can just pick up and do. You know, you got to practice at it. But I was lucky when I was younger, my mother told me, and my younger brother, my older brother, I'm not sure how he slipped through, but she told me and Joe that we were going to play music. And so we had a guitar and a piano there at the house, and she asked, I was older, so I got to choose, so I picked the guitar because it's easier to carry. So.
Right, that's right, the piano. And, you know, we must be of the same generation because my mother did the same thing.
Did
we
she?
Had no choice. There were no options. You got piano or violin, you
yeah.
know? And my brothers both went the Suzuki violin route, starting with a little cardboard box and a string, and I went the piano, and I hated every minute of it. It was sort of like, don't, and I know what it was about. It was really to give you discipline
yep.
skills, as well as the gifts of reading music and song
That's right.
and sharing.
I think one, my younger brother, he actually has a bigger, well, he's pursued it more with learning, like Mark was talking about there, but he, you know, playing the piano, I think he got a better... musical background, you know, of everything, you know, because he's like one of the guys you can kind of hand whatever and he'll play it, you know.
That's great. He's a good partner to have around. But you're
great.
Right, a
yeah.
piano is
yeah.
not portable.
Right. Well, and you know, and it seems like you get more of the I can't think of the word, but the background, you know,
say, yes.
and so that you can apply that to the different instruments.
So
too,
the fact, though, that you took a 10-year break and then we're at a party and somebody says, hey, how about this?
Yeah.
The message to our listeners I want to reiterate here is that there's a lot of things in our backgrounds we don't know to appreciate or celebrate.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, at some point you're going to tap them and they come flooding right back into your life. And in your case, you know, have a CD, you've got a band, you're involved in a church. I mean, you would have never predicted that.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's really neat. You know, the CD that we've done, I mean, it's just something that me and my brother did at the house. I mean, I wished maybe someday we'll get one where we can actually sell copies of it.
Well, you watch. We're going to play the first tune. The first cut I'd like to play is a beautiful song called Invisible Things. Again, this is for John Hall, a farrier, songwriter, and musician. So this is his entire piece. So, Tony, let's gear that up.
Man, I look at the way a horse is put together. Ponder that God, not some strange circumstance. Like a mountain buck coming out from behind a tree. All the salmon when they're swimming up the stream.
What a great tune. And I, you know, just so we should know, I think your voice sounds like Sam Elliott, the actor.
Well, thank you.
So, see, radio, we can kick you in all sorts of new directions.
There you go. Right.
Now, I know, I believe that that song was actually inspired by a chapter in Romans. So, you're pulling in your whole faith-based aspect in this life, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Romans 1:20, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, I stole the line, this is invisible things they haven't clearly seen there, you know. Yeah, it's kind of funny talking about how things, you know, the seasons and stuff, when you're talking with Mark there. I tried to write songs before and never could get one finished. I got a few of them started, but I think it was December 10 I wrote my first Christian song, and it just flowed out easy. So I think maybe that was the season, or maybe the time for that, you know.
Well, also, you said that that first song, I think you had told me that your father-in-law actually, you know, you posed a question to him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that question?
His name's Dan Garnett, and I think his website actually is, you can find him looking under Dan Garnett. He has a Christian music, and his music that he's written has kind of a country feel to it. And I asked him, I said, how come there's not more of a, you know, cowboy country sound in Christian songs? And he said to me, well, write some.
And there you go. And then the floodgates open.
Yeah.
And here I've got a disc in front of me with 10 different songs on it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great story. And again, but as we were talking about in the hall before coming there, is how many of those things are around us that until they get right in front of our nose, do we even see the possibility?
That's right.
Well, that's great. Let's play Grandma's Song, Tony, the second hit, because this is one that you actually wrote for your grandmother.
Yep, that's right.
When I was a little boy, Grandmama would sing songs of joy, songs she learned as a child. She'd sing them all. Joining to sing along instead of running around and being wild. In the sweet by and by, so pretty it'll make the angels cry. Then she'll sing, no, not one. As she sing, oh, happy day, all my sins been washed away. Her songs book of glory to the sun.
And I know Grandma's up there smiling and saying, yep, there's my boys, even on the radio playing my song.
There you go. Yep.
Now, of course, you've enjoyed doing these songs. I mentioned in the introduction that we have the Too Lazy Too Ranch Band that you're doing with your nephew and your brother. Right?
That's correct.
That's great.
Yeah, and we actually don't play at the Cowboy Church. I play with a couple other guys over there. But me and Joe and my nephew's name is Joe also. I nicknamed him JT when he was a little kid. So he's actually Joe the Third. So
the third,
JT,
yeah.
You got... But we'll play at parties and weddings and different things like that. And generally that's when we play. And we do country music and Western. We do cover songs, you know, Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, these kind of things.
I love it. And here's a guy that, as you said in the introduction, you played jazz band and rock and roll in your 20s.
Yeah.
So don't your fingers have to do something different in a guitar in this phase?
I mean, a little bit, you know. And when I played in the jazz band, I mean, jazz isn't really my style of music, but it was great. I learned a lot of chords and a lot of different things to do, you know, different. Now, basically, we just country and Western music and some bluegrass. We do some bluegrass. My brother Joe, he's actually plays with another group of guys. They're called the Drops in the River.
They
play strictly bluegrass music.
So there's never a dull moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And what are you going to be up to this afternoon? And, you know, and what technology and connectivity allows you to happen. John, you've mentioned a couple times, of course, I put this out at the beginning of the show, too, the Cowboy Church. Tell us about what that's all about.
It's from what I understand, the movement started in Texas, and it's just you know, like-minded people, Christian folks that have cowboy background or not even, you know, just somebody
cowboy
that,
wannabes like
right,
me who
any,
came here
yeah,
from New England
any,
has a horse and now has a farrier. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. Anybody that wants to come to is more than welcome. And Pastor Steve Lindsay is the one that started the first one that I found out about here, and he's actually has a church down in Canelo, south of Sonoyta, down there. And he actually started this one that I go to. Also, it's called the Rincon Valley Cowboy Church. Mm-hmm. We meet at the Rock and Case Stables out off Spanish Trail out there. And I got some contact phone numbers.
Sure, go right ahead.
Like
give
those.
That out. Sure.
For the Rincon Valley Cowboy Church, Ron Swanderlick, and that last name is spelled the way it sounds. So. His number is 603-8617. 603-8617. And Steve Lindsay's number at the Canelo Cowboy Church down there is 455-5000.
And so what would people experience coming to a cowboy church event on Saturday evening?
Well,
can I bring my horse?
You can, yeah.
Oh,
they actually,
oh my.
Actually, a while back.
That's pushing it a bit for me, you know.
Actually, a while back, and I'm there almost every Saturday, and the one Saturday I wasn't there, they had a lady came and was a guest speaker, and she did a sermon using a horse. And I was really sad that I missed that, you know, but... And, you know, the type of music, we've actually played some of my songs there, and we play mostly, you know, older hymnal stuff, you know, and mandolin guitars, bass guitar.
And so, you know, so many times the faith-based community, linking that so tightly in with music and the lyrics that are really forms of prayer, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, that's
right.
And
it really is. And speaking of which, why don't we play another tune here? Tony, let's gear up the one called Off the Cross, which I believe you were inspired by a wall of crosses that your wife has in your house.
That's
right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful statement. Let's pick this up. It's a very upbeat song.
People often say they've got a cross to bear. More often times than not, they shouldn't even care. I hope they do know from where these words did come. They're from the time the Lord, he sent his only son. He's off the cross, he's by the throne. If you're trying to get up to heaven, you can't get there alone. He's off the cross to save the lost. He died and rose again to help you get across. Afflictions we suffer in this land, they are but a speck to how he suffered at their hand. He did this willingly so we could all receive redemption from our sins and everlasting peace. He's off the cross.
Wonderful tune, and I tell you, more relevant in this day and age to keep in perspective for all of us what we're juggling through these tough times, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a pretty good compliment you and Tony both gave me there. I seen you tapping your foot and Tony was stabbing his fingers on the so thank you guys.
and you know what, for musicians, that's what you're looking for.
That's
is
right.
Audience response. You know,
right.
And of course if my daughter was here, she'd also be putting her hand over my mouth, because I'm also one that likes to just, you know, burst into song or hum, and she always says, no mom, I want to hear the musician.
Yeah.
I said, no, he really wants me to, this is an audience participation
that's
event,
right. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, the activities you've got, so have you got a lot of songs that rumble around in your head right now, or do they kind of pop up when an event happens? How do they come forth?
It's actually kind of weird. That song right there that you just played, that's my last one I wrote. That was about, I guess it was a week ago that I wrote that one. And it kind of just, you know, the idea looking at the crosses there, and it just, that line kind of popped into my head. And then we were at church last Saturday, and Steve had mentioned something from 2 Corinthians about the light afflictions that we suffer, and it just kind of all fell together. So
our listeners, just so you know here, we have an extraordinary talent, John. I think you underestimate what is kind of popping out from all around you right now. And I know you kind of apologetically said, well, we just did these tapes in my garage, da-da-da-da, and well, maybe someday I'll do a CD for sale. you know, perhaps Circles of Change is going to launch you on that path.
And, amen.
And anyway, amen. I like that exactly right. But also to allow any of our listeners who are thinking that have skills and gifts, whether they be musical gifts, the trades of building things, writing, and so on, you never know when that could pop forth, and perhaps there's things we've allowed to suppress it.
That's true.
Like, were you an English student? I mean, in early years, did you write a lot or poetry, anything like that?
I used to read a lot.
Okay.
Never cared much for writing, but...
Never cared much for writing, and yet he let a song pop out sort of a week ago based on connecting some dots from a sermon at church, another thing that passionately just struck you as you were staring at the wall in your home.
That's right, yeah.
And I think that you would hear that from many songwriters, that, particularly faith-based songwriters, they like flow within a half an hour.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Or like even Mark's earlier segment about how you've got to allow yourself to be in the moment and not necessarily know you can schedule creativity in these things.
That's true, yeah. And he actually made me think of another Bible verse, Philippians 4:6, where he's talking about being anxious and worried. It says, be anxious as nothing, but in all things with prayer and petition, go to the Lord. With
your something tells me you are already composing a new song live based on having heard that.
Maybe. Yeah,
you know, the other thing is interesting for our listeners to appreciate, I think I've picked up, John, is that you've got these, I won't say two separate pockets of your life, but working with animals and being calm and structured and having a process that you take your little charges through, and I'm sure each horse you kind of do differently, that's one side of your life. And then this other free-flowing thing that allows that creative spirit to couple. Do we really see all those things blended together?
I think they probably do blend together. A lot of times when I'm working on a horse, songs or, you know, a line will be going through my head or something.
There you go. It's a source of inspiration.
Yeah.
An outdoor job that allows you to do that. Let's play one last song that actually is entitled Cowboy Church, and to tie in with that theme here with John Hall. Don't even have to wear a tie or a suit. I love it. Well, John Hall, thank you so very much. For our listeners, particularly if you have a four-legged pet of the horse variety and would like to talk to John and consider having him be your farrier, the number is 520-647-1234.
Right? Very good.
We're going to look forward to watching where that CD and that music is going to take you, and take a visit and enjoy the community and sense at the Cowboy Church.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
You have a real pleasure.
Change is chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.